Hello, and welcome to the Nonfiction Authors Podcast, where we interview experts who help you learn how to write, market, publish, promote, and profit from your book. The podcast is brought to you by the Nonfiction Authors Association.com, which is the home of the Nonfiction Writers Conference.com. We have several membership levels, all of which offer discounts on our live courses and so many other benefits. Find out more at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com/join. I'm Carla King, your host, and we're talking today with publicist, media insider, trainer, and coach Joanne McCall about how to deliver media interviews that keeps listeners engaged and wanting more. Joanne helps nonfiction authors and business leaders become media darlings, as the media call them. Her secret sauce is to position, secure, and assist authors in capturing media attention, to deliver compelling interviews, and to help you create and develop your own media empire. Joanne is on a first-name basis with hundreds of top-rung producers, editors, writers, and journalists, and secures coverage for clients including Brian Tracy, Ken Blanchard, Dave Ramsey, and Dr. Richard Bandler. She's the creator of Media Book Camp and the author of Media Darling, Shine Through Every Interview. Welcome to the podcast, Joanne.
Oh, Carla, I'm delighted to be here. This is great. We're going to have such a good time.
We are. This is not our first rodeo. You were on last year, so it's great to get an update from you. And last year, you also conducted the Nonfiction Authors Association Publicity Masterclass, that six-week course where authors intensively learn how to pitch an interview, and then a media training class where authors learn how to deliver an interview. I wish I had done that, 20 years ago, but, we could always use a refresher. And they were really big hits with our nonfiction authors. Today, we're discussing media training, but let's start with a quick recap of the process and timeline for when that's supposed to happen in that whole marketing, publicity, and media book launch so that authors can make sure to include it.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to start there. I think that there's like a template that you can think about in your mind that helps to figure out really what you should be doing and when you should be doing it. And because I talked to a lot of authors and many of them feel overwhelmed or there's so many different channels and so many different opportunities and so many different things that you can do. And so where do you start? What do you do? And sometimes people end up not doing a lot because they get into that kind of procrastination mode. I don't know what to do, that sort of thing. So I think that this will really help. And I've heard from other people that it did help them. So just briefly, there are really four buckets to look at. Three are the main ones we're going to explore here, but there are four. The first one is called You Media, or I call it You Media. So this is all the content generation that you do. It's your blog. It's a podcast, if you have a podcast. It's anything that you create. It's putting your own message out there into the world in the way that you want to put it out there. It's yours, and you're delivering it. The second bucket is of earned media, and earned media is pretty much what we think of when we think of doing media. It's when someone else interviews you. There's someone else involved in the process. That means there's some hoops to jump. You got to have the right pitch. You have to pitch the right person. They have to be interested in what you have. You have to kind of sell them through your credentials and why you are the expert who should be talking about this. So earned media has some hoops to jump, but it's very, very valuable because it's a third-party endorsement. It's someone else saying, this person is terrific. We're doing this interview. They're really wonderful. You should buy their book. That kind of thing. So that's earned media, the second bucket. The third bucket is social media. This is really an amplification tool. So whether it's You Media, it's something you generate, like you do a blog post, or you do an earned interview with someone, you take that and you amplify it on your social channels. So that's another big piece of media. That fourth bucket I briefly mentioned is advertising, and that's certainly something you consider, but it's not really something that falls into doing publicity so much. But it's advertising, Amazon ads, or whatever else you might want to do. All those things can make up that whole marketing publicity package. You could think of it kind of like a table with four legs, or even there can be a stool with three legs, you know, and that's you media, earned media, and then social media or borrowed or rented media is another, you might hear those terms as well. Mm-hmm. So when you consider those different buckets, it with each one, there are things to do. So if you're going to go out, if you really want to go out and do interviews, podcast interviews, for example, you have to get your you media in place first, right? You have to have your website. You have to have whatever else it is that you want to create so that when you go out there, they're going to come back and look at what you're doing. If you have nothing there, it's really a missed opportunity and wasted time for you. So you want to start with doing your own platform, putting all that together. Then you can do the outreach. Then they come back and then you can amplify it on social media. So I think with those things in mind, it can help you to plan and organize who to go after and when. The other piece is a timeline, for instance. I don't know if you would like me to share this.
Oh, yes. We all need timelines, you know, because checklists are so, it just makes everything so much easier. So go for it, please.
It really does. It really does. If you're thinking about magazines, getting in magazines, that's probably your longest lead opportunity. So particularly when it's actual printed magazines, which are hard to get now. And when you do get them, that really says something about you. It's getting into those publications is a challenge because there's a defined amount of space. There's 120 pages or whatever it is. And that's it. That's done. With a website, you get digital media. Well, let's just throw up another page. You know, we like this. I mean, it's still a challenge to get it, but space is not the issue because they can add a page easily. So when it comes to digital media, generally speaking, it's not as long of a lead time as like magazines or industry trades. They take longer too. So having an idea of how long these things take is important. When it comes to podcasts, many of them you can get in a relatively quick amount of time, although not all. I mean, I know of some podcasters, they're a year out, which is I can't hardly even still believe it, but I've run into a number of them now. So podcasts, you want to go after early in the process too. And then you can plan for that kind of thing. And then there are others that are only a month out or maybe 2 months out, but still you want to line these things up if you can before your publication date. So they all hit around the same time. That creates a lot of the momentum. And if you do an Amazon campaign or whatever else you might have built into your launch, you could just generate a lot of interest all at the same time. So does that help?
Oh, yeah, that does. Because, magazines are tough and editors want stuff. But let's see, if it's October, we want to be thinking about Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've got a book I'm going to be working on when do we launch? I think it's October. We're hitting magazines right now.
Yeah, you're hitting them up.
That's it.
Once you've got them, though, and you've attracted them with your pitch letter and your beautiful platform and website, make them happy, like on camera, like we're doing right now, right? You've got all of these techniques, and I'd love for you to share how to make that first impact. To start with,
let's say you're going after podcasts because podcasts are wonderful. They're just very popular now. We're doing one right now.
Yes, we are.
If you're approaching a podcast host or producer, so you want to have just an outstanding pitch letter, right? You want your topic and all of that, but you have to include things now. Like you need to have a link to some other podcast you've done or some other audio that you've done for two reasons or video for two reasons. One is they want to know that you have enthusiasm. And they want to know how you present yourself. Energy level is critical, critical. You need to send them material that's helpful. And a lot of people are using one sheets now. And a one sheet is basically you have everything on one sheet. It's small. It's your book cover. It's your photo. It's a bio. It's interview questions. It's maybe some interview topics. It's your talking points. Mm-hmm. Some of those terms are used a little bit interchangeably, but talking points are basically, they say what you're going to talk about in an interview. And each one should be its own captivating little piece of what you're going to talk about. You don't want to be boring with this. You need to use active language and make it interesting.
Yeah, and that's tough for authors. I just have to say, I get pitched all day long on this podcast, and I'll tell you, I'll go through the little application form, the pitch, and first of all, they give me a bio that pitches their book, right?
Ooh, yeah,
I know. So they're like, "Oh, I can talk about my new book that, you know, just came out about what?" And I'm like, well, wait, this is all about how to teach nonfiction authors how to do stuff to advance their career. So, wow, what a huge mistake. That is gone in 10 seconds.
That's an excellent point, Carla. Unless the podcast you're pitching is all about books, it's a podcast on books specifically, and there are some out there, then they're going to be more interested in what the actual book is. But by and large, most of them, it's the topic. Or it's, you know, how you're, it's how it's going to help the audience of that particular podcast host. They are delivering to a certain group of people. You want to make sure you're matching what you do to what they're doing. It's easy to think it's about us, but it's not. When we're pitching others, it's about them. It's about them and their particular audience. And we have to put our own ego aside and look at what they're doing. And as you're pitching your various points, you're making your points, you want them aimed at their audience. That's going to make all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. All the difference. You're the one, you're the source. Would you agree?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it's just such a pain because I'm looking for podcast guests all the time. And yes. So we have to fill 52 weeks, right? And there are a lot of experts out there, but.
Well, here's another tip.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to get this out so people hear it. I mean, listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast because you're going to learn so much just from, you know, what they talk about and what the subject is and how they interact. Listen to the podcast so that you're not pitching something way off subject and off topic.
And getting those talking points are hard for me. I'm just like, okay, what are the talking points? They give me four or five things that we're going to talk about. I actually had one podcast guest or that I really wanted who said, well, I leave it up to the podcast host to research me and, you know.
No, they said like, that?
Goodbye.
Yeah. No, that's
Yeah, I wanted her really badly, but she was making it so difficult.
I help produce a podcast, you know, for someone. And I get a lot of these kinds of things. So I can feel your pain with that. Mm-hmm. We had someone, you know, really quite famous and he blew it in a very similar way. This guy should know better. It's one thing if you're just learning. I mean, if you're here and you're just learning this stuff, you know, that's fine. You're learning, but this guy should know better. He's been around, he's done this, and he just has an arrogance. And I finally, you know, and they kept switching the date and switching and rescheduling. And after four times, I'm like, you know what? Life's too short. I'm not doing this, you know, so you want to make it easy for the other person, but that's an excellent point.
It is because you want to know as a podcast host, you want to know what's coming next. Right. And we know each other pretty well, so it's not very hard with us, but for a lot of people that I don't know, I need to know what they want to kind of end with the impact, you know, how the flow of the conversation is going to go. And oftentimes we divert, you know, we oftentimes don't talk about everything, but it's a natural conversation. And I think that's the best outcome when we're both interested in what each other has to give and the energy is really flowing and they're making me think, you know, and I think that makes for a lively interview.
Absolutely. Yes, that sounds wonderful. Do you like it when people send you audio clips or video clips so you can see them and hear them?
I do. They don't, you know, that never happens anymore, but they give me links. It's very rare though.
That they give you links?
People give me links. Yeah. Okay. I usually have to Google them on YouTube or something. And I wish they would have given that to me.
Yeah. I'd like to just say that to anyone listening, include links and make it your best stuff. And if you haven't done any interviews yet, which is certainly possible, if you're just kind of getting going on this, then that's why a good use of mock interviews. A mock interview is when you can have someone off camera asking you questions. You can sit there and just answer, or you can even ask yourself, you could say, you know, the biggest question that I get is this. And I like to respond to that by saying this, you know, and then tighten it up, make sure it's a decent presentation. And that's a link you can send. I mean, if you don't have a lot of interviews yet, that's okay. But you want to send them something that they can look at, and don't make them look for it and do
no,
a search.
And it's totally okay if you know people haven't been interviewed a lot, because it's the expertise that I'm looking for, and I think most people are. I had a author who talked about cryptocurrency. He wrote one of the early Bitcoin books, and you know, he was on so many podcasts when his book launched, and they just, you know, they introduced him as an author, and they talked about his book in one line at the end of the interview, and he sold more books with those little podcast interviews. He was in Forbes and The Economist and everything too, and he didn't sell squat from those big media outlets. So you
interesting.
Yeah, because you know, it's a target audience, right? They have a target audience, and he was delivering the good information and the up-to-date newsworthy information.
And that's not to say that it isn't helpful to be in The Economist or those kinds of publications, because if you have that on your website, a lot of people are like, oh, wow, you know, we should add this guy. So, I mean, there's uses for these things, but you're right. Sometimes the smaller podcasts are the things that actually sell books. So that's definitely, definitely something to keep in mind, and why you're doing what you're doing, and make sure your goals match up to what's actually possible.
Yes. So now I want to move on, because, you know, this is about how to deliver interviews that keep listeners engaged and wanting more. So, you know, I know you coach authors on this all the time. What's the starting point? You know, how do you open? What are the important steps from minute one to minute 30?
Yes. Okay. That's great. There are many important tips to being a great guest and to delivering a great interview. And I'll go through them, but I would say the first thing is to watch other interviews or listen to other interviews and notice the ones that capture your attention, not just because of the topic, because it may be a particular topic, but interviews where you really want to listen to what the person has to say, and you can begin to kind of dissect that. Why is that so compelling? What is it that they're doing that's making that so interesting? This can give you valuable feedback. So another main point that I love to share with people is, we all talk about launching our books and the importance of having a launch, a publication date. Well, there's such a thing as launching an interview as well. And launching an interview is the first 45 to 60 seconds of that interview. It's critical. And you know why? There's probably a bunch of reasons, but two really big ones. Number one, it tells the listener if they're going to hang around for question number two. And the second reason is, it gives the host various entry points as to where they want to go next in the interview. You've given them kind of a roundabout in 45 to 60 seconds what that interview is going to be about. It's usually, here's the problem, here's how bad it got. Then I hit a point where I had to make a change. Then I did this and this and this, and now life is just wonderful. That's one example. There are a number of them, but that's one example where you're encapsulating a story. It's a story of some sort, and you give it an entry point. It got bad. It got better. Now it's great. Just quickly.
Sounds like the plot of a book. We should be used to that.
Yes. It's just a very condensed amount of time. So every word is important, and how you say it, and you want to use active language and that kind of thing. And you need to be enthusiastic. I mean, even if you have a serious subject, it doesn't mean that you're smiling, but it doesn't mean you have enthusiasm about this subject that you talk about. Something to pay attention to is like your own energy level. I remember I used to be in radio broadcasting. That was my first career. And I remember when I started, I thought, man, I am over the top. My energy is like over the top, because that's how it felt to me. But I would listen back and I'd think, that's just about right. So if you feel like you're over the top with enthusiasm or how you're presenting yourself, you're probably just about right. This is not the place to be cool. I'm really cool. You know, I mean, who cares? You don't want to be laid back.
So caffeinate.
Yeah. Not crazy caffeinate, but, you know, interesting caffeinate. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So having some enthusiasm, that's important. Being able to get to the point, and remember the audience. Really remember the audience, because so often I hear from people, well, you know, I get nervous. I have to, like, for example, I had a client, we were in the green room of a television station. It was a national show, and he was nervous. He said to me, I'm nervous. I said, okay. I said, who are you here to help? I had him think about the person that he was there to serve, the person he was there to talk to. He was a personal finance expert. So he was talking to people in trouble with money. And most of us at some point in our lives have some issues like, oh my God, I have a bigger tax bill than I was expecting this year. I mean, it happens. So he had tips on how to help people get through that. I said, focus on the person. So what that did was it allowed him to think about who he was there to help. And it got him off his own nerves. It got him out of himself and thinking about this. And that's so when you're doing your interviews, think about the other person that you're there to serve and you're there to help. It takes it off of you. So those are a couple of examples. There are many. If you get a, you could get a confrontational host. Sometimes surprises happen. You want to talk about confrontational hosts?
Yes, I do. Because surprises happen and they throw you a question that maybe it isn't even in your range. You're like, where did that come from? Right.
Yeah. Yes, that can happen.
What do you do?
All right. So these are great topics. So first of all, if you're asked a question that's out of, you're not even there for this, and that happens a lot. What you want to do is do something called bridging back. So you have to start to answer the question. I mean, you don't want to be like a politician, completely ignore the question and just answer with what you want to answer. It's just, it's kind of rude. It's just, it's not good interviewing. So you start to answer the question, and in your mind, you'd be thinking about, how can I bridge this back to one of my key messages, which is why you want to burn your key messages into your brains. You know what they are. And then you find a way to bridge it back. I remember once I was booking Wayne Dyer. Do you know who Wayne is?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was pretty big in certain circles. He was into, you know, kind of new thought, new age, that sort of thing. He wrote, actually, his first book was Your Erroneous Zones, which was the number one book in the entire decade of the 1970s. Can you believe it? But he, you know, he evolved beyond that, and he passed away maybe 5 years ago or so, but he's had a ton of books. So I was lining up interviews for him. I lined up one in a city, I think it was in Texas. And there had been, you know, this huge news story. There was like a, you know, someone blew up a building. I mean, there was a big story, and they brought him on and they introduced him, not about his book, which was why he was there, or the topic of his book. But they said, oh, you know, there was this big bombing here. And, you know, we have this PhD, Dr. Wayne Dyer here. And he's, you know, Dr. Dyer, can you tell us, you know, do you think having, you know, weapons is a good idea?
Wow.
This is not, right. And I'm listening going, oh my God, this is not why he's there. Oh my God. And there was a pause. And to his credit, he just, you know, he said, well, and he just went into this thing. You know, when this sort of a situation calls for, and I can't remember the exact details now, but he answered the host's question to a certain degree and then brought it back to the subject in his book, which is about meditation and anxiety and being able to handle things, you know, yourself, or when news stories break that scare you, here's how you can help you. It was a beautiful answer, and it brought it back to the subject at hand. So when you're doing an interview and you're asked a question that seems, you know, totally out there, you don't want to say, what a stupid question. I mean, it's just a bad idea. You don't want to say that. Begin to answer it and bring it back to one of the key messages as to why you're there. Confrontational hosts are a little bit different. And sometimes, you know, they can be sneaky. Of course, you'll do your research ahead of time about shows. And if it's a confrontational host, you may not pitch the show. But sometimes, again, they can surprise you. And so the main thing with a confrontational host is that you don't want to take the bait. So the last thing you want to do is get into any kind of argument. That would just take you both down, take you down anyway, maybe not the host. So you don't want to get into any big confrontation. Learn how to breathe. And you have to find a way. And this is why mock interviews and training is so important, because it helps you to learn to stay calm when crazy things are going on outside. Or if your mind is going, oh, and it's all scared, it's how do you keep your calm enough to come up with a good answer? So I have an example of a woman who had created a whole line of workout spas. And she was on this national show, and it was in person. So when she went into the studio, the host was really nice. I mean, they had this wonderful conversation and all that. And the moment the mic went live, this guy goes, why would anyone get a membership to your spa? You are fat.
Oh,
can you imagine? You know, to her credit, she was able to maintain, and there's this pause, and she says, she spoke through the host right to the audience. And she said, ladies, This is exactly why I created my spas, for people just like this, so you can go somewhere and not be judged from the moment you walk in the door, and you can get a good workout in and feel good about yourself. Well, the interview ended right after that, but she did get her phone number and her website address out. It was only like a 3-minute interview. But that's an example of speaking through the host directly to the audience, which is what she did. And she was very successful with what she did.
Wow. So should you practice like with a friend and get aggressive and play the aggressive host? And is that something to do with role playing?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. In fact, in when you do like a formal media training, that's part of it. You don't have to necessarily do formal media training for that. You can have a friend do that or someone, but you have to set it up so it really creates some fear inside. If it's just your best friend and you guys, laugh your butts off, I mean, it's probably not going to get you where you want to go. But mock interviews can be very, very helpful. So you do want to practice and try to set up those kinds of situations and see how you do. The beauty of it is this. It's like learning anything. There was a day when you didn't know how to ride a bike. There was a day when you didn't know how to write words. You didn't know how to read. Later, you didn't know how to present in front of people. There's a lot of things we never knew how to do until we learned how to do them. Mm-hmm. So this is something you can learn how to do. You will get better, I guarantee it. And in fact, you can get to a point where when you are surprised or asked a confrontational question or something happens you weren't expecting, you can actually look forward to it because you can see how much better you are and how elegantly you can get through it and get on the other side of it. And that's the beauty of it. Rather than being afraid of it, you actually look forward to it.
And just know that most hosts want a good interview. They're not going to do that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So don't be so afraid. And again, I just forgot what I was going to say. What if that happens?
Well, that's okay, because I just forgot what I was going to say. That does happen.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk about that. Like, it's the deer in the headlights thing. That used to happen to me quite a lot when I was first being published and being interviewed, and I was very shy. Everything would just go right out of my head. What do you do?
Well, there's a couple of different ways you can handle that. One is, you could actually cop to it. You can be speaking and then just say, "Oh my gosh, I just forgot what I was going to say." And if you laugh about it, oftentimes the host will laugh too. "Yeah, I have those senior moments too." And blah, blah, blah. And then you move on to something else or they ask another question. So that's something that you can do.
Just be yourself, really. Yeah. And I have to say, I kind of do like quirky personalities, because people write books and they write books about nonfiction books about all kinds of things. And they're quirky. People have strange perspectives on the world and it's fun. So I don't mind that at all.
That's great. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. That's wonderful. And by the way, I'm not saying any of this to scare anyone. Mm-hmm. Probably 999 times out of 1,000 would you run into something like that.
Right.
And it's probably not even that, it's probably higher than that, mm-hmm. the possibility. Or less, not as high. Okay. So there's my big mistake. It happens. Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to scare anybody. This should be fun. It should be fun. That's the whole idea. And at the point when you do run into something quirky or strange, you just roll with it.
Yeah.
So, and if you're outside of yourself and you're thinking about the person you're serving, it makes it much easier. Yeah. And there are very, very definite tips to help you to do that. And we've talked about quite a few of them.
We have. Do you have any single takeaway before we have to leave this half-hour podcast?
Is it over already?
It's over already. Can you believe it? Yeah.
Yeah. No, the main thing is that it's just, I've touched on it, but I think it's important to touch on again. And that kind of training or that kind of experience gives you a level of confidence where you trust yourself and you know you're going to be fine. And whatever life might throw at you, you're going to handle it just fine. And when you can come into a situation with that, people feel it. They can tell. And so that's the main takeaway that I would like to give is you can get there. It's just a learned thing. It's a skill. It's not something you're born with. It's simply a skill that can be learned. So that's it.
Well, thank you for that, because nonfiction authors are experts in their field. And so when you have a deep knowledge about something, there's not much that can be thrown at you that's going to surprise you, I don't think. Like when I'm interviewed about self-publishing. You know, it's very rare when I can't answer a question.
Right. It's really, we're just speaking of like the surprises, like the host falls off the platform,
the radar,
and you have to continue keeping things moving forward until they log back in, you know, that kind
of thing.
We're
all human.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Joanne. It's a pleasure to have you on, and congratulations. I do have the book Media Darling shine
Thank
through
you.
Every interview. Yay.
Thank
so
you.
We can get some of your tips, a lot of your tips there and in your media trainings.
Thank you, Carla. What a pleasure to be here. I appreciate it so much.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us each week for 30 minutes of expert tips for authors. Whether you're watching on YouTube or social media or listening on your favorite podcast app, navigate to the episode page where you'll find links, show notes, highlights, and even a transcript of this episode and all episodes at nonfictionauthorsassociation.com. Also, check out the Nonfiction Writers Conference coming up in May. Join us wherever you are. We've been a virtual conference since the beginning, over a decade ago. And finally, keep writing. The world needs your expertise and experience. See you next week. Hey, just a couple more things. I want to give a shout out to our awesome sponsors and partners, which you can find in our resources section, along with a huge list of experts who can help you with every aspect of your publishing journey. Thanks again for your time, and please join us each week by subscribing to our YouTube channel or on your favorite podcast audio app.